This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Saturday marked the first and likely only time all three Democratic candidates for governor appeared on the same stage in a broadcasted forum, sharing their solutions and visions for West Virginia's future. The Democratic Gubernatorial Forum was sponsored by the West Virginia Democratic Party and included former U.S. Attorney Booth Goodwin, businessman and Greenbrier Resort owner Jim Justice, and Senate Minority Leader Jeff Kessler, all looking to become the party's nominee. Ashton Mara served as the moderator of Saturday's forum and joins us now. Good morning, Ashton.
Good morning, Beth.
This is the only time this primary season so far these candidates have agreed to appear in a televised event together, which could have resulted in a very heated forum between the three of them. Is that what happened?
So all of the stories that we've seen in the papers lately, there have been attacks against Justice for his owed back taxes and environmental fines from his coal mining companies in several states. The recent attacks Justice has rendered against Goodwin for his prosecution of former Massey Energy CEO Don Blankenship, basically saying that the outcome wasn't worth the time. There were only a couple of times that they actually tried to attack each other during the forum itself, even though we've seen all of these attacks come out in the papers. Goodwin made some disparaging remarks after tax credits, over tax credits that were given to Justice for the Greenbrier. Justice went after Goodwin for prosecuting low-level drug users, but there wasn't anything really that major. The format was determined by the party, and it restricted any time for follow-up questions or rebuttal from candidates, but it did give voters kind of a side-by-side comparison of the candidates themselves because they were all asked to answer the same questions.
So what impressions did each candidate leave us with?
You know, overall, Goodwin seemed, I hate to say it, but a little underprepared. He came with these short answers to the questions that were well below the minute and a half time limit, but he did come with some specific ideas, probably the most specific of which was his stance that the state fleet, or these cars that are owned by state government and driven by state employees, that they should change over to natural gas for fuel instead of gasoline. That's something that Tomlin had studied a couple years back, but he didn't follow through with, likely because the price of gasoline, the price of oil has dropped so much in the past couple years. Justice was the visionary. He shared a lot of big ideas, but almost no specifics or solutions. He spent a lot of time pivoting to job growth. So no matter what the question was, he found a way to talk about the need to grow jobs in West Virginia. But he didn't really have any ideas as to how. He didn't share any ideas as to how he would actually do that. And, you know, Kessler was really what you expected him to be. He brought specific solutions for budgetary issues. He spoke frankly about substance abuse and how it's affected his family, about how he had to send his son out of state to find treatment. And he was the only one to clearly say that he believes in climate change and believes that West Virginia students should be taught about the human-induced causes.
You pointed out some of them, but all of these Democratic candidates have their weaknesses, have things that the Republican campaign can use against them in the fall. You asked them to specifically address that potential during the debate. What did they say?
Right. So for Goodwin, the criticism in the general election is the most likely to come over the fact that he was appointed U.S. attorney by President Obama, who's unpopular in the state because of his policies on coal. This was what Goodwin had to say.
Well, I was incredibly proud to have been appointed the United States Attorney for the Southern District, and I served, I believe, admirably in that role for 5.5 years. Before that, I wasn't a politician. I was a prosecutor. I believe that people will look past that. I mean, for goodness sakes, President Obama is not going to be in the White House when I take office as governor. We need to move past partisanship.
So kind of trying to separate himself from the other politicians. And, you know, of course, the only longtime politician on that stage was Jeff Kessler. For Kessler, the Republican attacks in the general elections are likely to come from his quickness to look to increasing taxes to address the state's budget deficit. He brought it up on Saturday that the state needs to increase the tobacco tax. It's also likely to come over his openness about the fact that he believes coal will never return to the rates of production and income for West Virginia that it once was. When I asked him what he would say if Republicans attacked him for this in the fall, he got pretty fiery, pretty heated in his response. Here's a portion of that.
You need to tell people the truth. You have to identify problems and fix them. And I can tell you this, they can come after me. But I will tell you, I have sat down in Charleston for the last 2 years with them in control. It has been an awful attack on people, on families, on teachers, on workers, on labor, on unions, on everybody that didn't have a last name named Inc. And that will stop under my administration.
So Kessler all along has been pushing this message that he will tell the truth, and that's what he's doing. He stayed consistent with that and then, you know, went after the Republicans, something that he'll have to do in the fall. For Justice, the attacks, like I mentioned earlier, are like most likely to come over the fact that he's been ordered by several courts to pay back taxes and environmental fines that he's not paid in his coal mining holdings. Here's a portion of what Justice had to say.
Jim Justice will make mistakes. Jim Justice did not take an easy way out. Jim Justice has never bankrupted any company. It would have been an easy way. Just shut the doors. Let everybody get stuck. I didn't do it. I promise you that every single obligation that I ever have will be fulfilled.
Justice went on to say that he loves West Virginia and he's running for office because of that love for the state and not because he stands to personally benefit from it.
Ashton Mara is our assistant news director at West Virginia Public Broadcasting and moderated Saturday's Democratic Gubernatorial Forum. Congratulations on that, Ashton, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Beth.
If you missed Saturday's broadcast, you can watch the forum on our website, wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:50. Sunny and warm today with highs in the 80s, clear and cool overnight with lows in the mid-40s to low 50s, mostly sunny with highs in the 70s tomorrow.
Support for this weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents are available at erieinsurance.com. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by State Electric Supply Company, providing electrical solutions to West Virginia since 1952. Online at stateelectric.com.
Despite the emphasis in West Virginia on the state's natural beauty and abundant opportunities to take in the outdoors, West Virginia is not considered a bike-friendly state, according to the League of American Bicyclists. Advocates, however, are working to change that. Yesterday, bike advocacy organizations, community members, and state employees gathered in Charleston for the first West Virginia Bike Summit. Carol Lofton attended and reports that organizers hope the two-day event that continues today will not only make West Virginia communities more cycling and walking friendly, but will also improve the finances and health of the people who live here.
And we're going to have people stop the traffic.
About 30 people gathered in front of the Marriott in downtown Charleston Sunday for a casual ride through the city to learn about its bike and trail plan.
Have a great ride, everyone. Everyone, follow me.
The riders follow green Share the Road bike signs through downtown Charleston into Kanawha City and back. In 2013, advocates worked with legislators to uphold the state bicycle code to require motorists to give bicycles 3 feet of clearance. Now, they hope to create better statewide infrastructure to support safe biking and walking to include
either dedicated bike lanes, additional shoulders where you can ride safely. There's a significant bike project to be happening later this year in Charleston out on the boulevard that will provide for more room for bikers to make it so that our roads accommodate both the automobile, which it certainly has for years, but also the other road users like cyclists.
That was Tom Smith, the senior transportation advisor for the Appalachian Regional Commission. He said the biggest challenge with improving bike access on roads is the West Virginia terrain. Traditional West Virginia roads are narrow and curvy and can be difficult to widen. However, Smith says, the West Virginia Department of Transportation is expanding usage where they can.
What I see as I've moved around in other places is that when you provide better facilities for pedestrians and bikers, people start having a healthier lifestyle, and certainly younger families will be out using the facilities. It encourages a much healthier lifestyle, and there'll be health benefits for it. And then we will hope that when the facilities are readily available, we see people get up and make use of them that maybe wouldn't have otherwise.
In addition to the group rides, the summit includes speakers presenting on topics such as health and quality of life, tourism and economic development, and state and federal transportation policy. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
And for more information on the Bike Summit, visit us at wvpublic.org. Harper's Ferry is moving right along in its rebuilding process since a fire devastated four historic buildings last July. Liz McCormick brings us this update.
We last heard on the status of the Harper's Ferry rebuilding process back in December. Now, as we begin approaching summer and the one-year mark since the fire, the town is getting closer and closer to being restored. In December, one of the main building owners, Barbara Pusateri, said she hoped to be back and fully operational with businesses and apartments by the end of the summer. Harper's Ferry Mayor Gregory Vaughn just spoke with Pusateri.
She informed me that the restoration for her properties are going along very well, and she believes that she may come online in late summer or early fall, full restoration.
Vaughn also says two other property owners hope to be in working order by October or November. Vaughn also notes all the debris in the structures is now gone. Debris removal began just before Thanksgiving.
They were very careful in removing all of the burned material. That is all gone. The buildings have been gutted. They are down to studs and floor joists and ceiling joists, and now they are beginning work inside to restore the inside and also with the outside structures.
West Virginia University's Extension Service has been working with Harper's Ferry since September. They provided contractors and other experts to look over the damage and consider future projects to beautify the town. Vaughn says the Extension Service has also helped the town apply for a grant this past March.
It would be restoration and beautification of the main tourist corridor along High Street. High Street is one of the principal historic streets in Harper's Ferry, and there's quite a bit of work that could be done there to make the experience of our visitors even better than what it is, and that's what we are attempting to achieve with this grant.
High Street is home to two of the buildings caught in the July fire, including Pusateri's. At this time, Vaughn says the cause of the fire is still undetermined. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Harper's Ferry.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our director is Chuck Anzalevich. I'm Beth Voorhees.